The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
All right, everybody. It is 12 minutes after 9. This has been a wonderful broadcast journey today. We open up at 7 with State Senator Brian Hughes, who gave us an update on constitutional carry, really close to passage, absolutely great. Gave us an update on a couple of pro-life measures, the heartbeat bill that is going to say when you hear a beating heart, that baby will be protected in Texas. And then we talked about big tech censorship and how to fight it. And there's no doubt, I mean, I've every day talk to you about the degree to which these fascists who run Facebook and Twitter and even Google, guiding your search options, that these are leftists and they are banning people they don't like, and it's selective negative attention and et cetera, et cetera. And yet what I've wrestled with here is the conservative stripe in me just can't get real comfortable with the notion of government telling private entities what they can do, even when they are big, dominating private entities that hate me. So we're kind of wrestling with that a little bit, and a number of other things going on in the news. So let me just dive right back on in. 866-660-5759. We are in Carrollton. Andrew, hey, Mark Davis, welcome. Happy Thursday. How you doing?
Happy Thursday, Mark.
Hey.
First time, long time.
Thank you.
I chased you down the aisle.
Appreciate
years ago.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Now, regarding the social media companies and regulation, I think I pretty much agree with you on most of this stuff. I don't like to see that the government gets more power and then you now have Democrats or whoever you may not like making the rules of who gets on there. But I will say that they do need to be taken to the woodshed. Their rules are very opaque, subjective, and you don't know what you're dealing with and they're retroactive. And they even get you for things that you do off of their platform. Like if you say something in public and they say, well, we don't want you on our platform any longer. You don't know what you're doing until you do it. And then you find out the next day that you've been banned. So these things are where they need to now have to be much more upfront, clear, and where a patron of their services knows what they're getting into before they get in there. And so that you're not caught blindsided. It's like, hey, I knew that was going to get me banned, I would have
right. Would have rethought. And those are that's about four or five great points in one paragraph. And I suppose that it would still all be sifted through the jaundiced eye of whoever's running the gatekeeping at Facebook or Twitter, because we live in an age when someone can look at something that Trump says on or about January 6th, which is about challenging the election results, saying that rules were violated, constitutional norms were shattered, and that this was not a clean result. And that, through the eyes of these gatekeepers, is an incitement to violence, the commission of a crime. I mean, how do you fix that?
Except that was done retroactively.
Mm-hmm.
They came back and said what he said in public was mm-hmm. a violation of their terms. Then they came back and made those. Had he known, hey, if you give a speech and those people do something wrong, you may be held accountable. He probably does something a little different.
Whoa.
That keeps them
have you met the man? I think he doubles down. And in fact, it would depress me.
You don't have the issue. But then you don't have the issue. Then it's like if they warn him up front, this may be happening.
No.
We have a different situation here.
Mm.
It's after the fact that you got hit punitively for something that you probably did not have on your radar.
Correct.
That was going to be in effect.
Absolutely true. So, but now we live in a world where, January, the election challenge happens, January 6th happens, and now people who, you know, from talk show hosts to Mike Lindell to others who, you know, a full range of election skepticism, let's just call it, some of which I think is rational and reasonable, other which I think is a little loopy, and I've made those lists pretty clear on the show. But just putting your toe in that pool can get you blasted for so-called election misinformation. And don't even get me started on COVID vaccine doubts. I think I've made my opinions clear on the vaccines. But if somebody feels differently to me about this, the notion they should be booted from social media, that's terrible.
I think I agree with you, but you just hit on what the issue is. You don't know what will be seen as a violation of the terms of service, and that's where they need to have that rectified. They need to come up for and say, like, these are what will get you done, very black and white, and if you have a problem with that, you can come back, but then we don't know what those are right now. You don't know what the next words you say about the vaccines or something is going to get you taken off. You need to know that. And I would just say, like, we do have a, and this is where the government does well, is to help create a level of transparency between the market and the consumers. You see this in SEC regulations when it comes to accounting rules. You know, it may not be the end all be all, but at least we all have a level set playing field. This is what I can expect from these companies as I do business with them or want to invest in them.
They do have a track record for doing that. I guess the tricky thing is they have a pretty good track record of doing that when everybody knows there's proper government oversight of something, and there's just not that blanket understanding that there's proper government oversight of social media. Andrew, awesome points. Thank you enormously. Yeah. That was just superb. 918-866-660-5759. We are in North Richland Hills. Patty, hey, Mark Davis, welcome. Happy Thursday.
Hey, Mark. How are you?
I am
how
good.
Are you enjoying Obama's third term?
I know. You know what? Not only is you know what, or the Hillary presidency we thought we had prevented.
That's a good one too. Yep. Okay. Well, you said that they're not utilities, and
right.
I totally understand that. But it seems like, in a way, that Google is almost a utility.
Mm.
How we get on the internet.
Well, do what?
Isn't it how we get on the internet? Nah, how we search
for things? Well, no. Okay, careful. Once you are on the internet, Google is how you search for things. But there are a bunch of, like, what is it, DuckDuckGo that likes to identify that it doesn't track you or, you know, come to your house at midnight or something like that. There are other, Bing, maybe that exists anymore. There are other search engines.
True, and I've used that DuckDuckGo. In fact, I put it on my front page of my phone and took Google off.
But, there you go.
It doesn't seem to work as well sometimes.
That's the tricky thing. We have all, and that's why the bakery. I keep coming back to the bakery. We tell the baker he can do what he wants to do. It's because there are 100 bakers. You know, the gay couple that can't get a cake on this street can probably get one block over. When Facebook kicks you off, there's no other Facebook. You know, when Twitter kicks you off there, and I know God bless Parler for the 500th time. It's nowhere near and never will be the breadth and exposure that Twitter has. So that uniquity, Patty, thank you. That unique nature, literally unique, meaning there's only one, is what garners for them this negative attention in the form of an argument people are trying to make for government oversight. And I guess let me offer this final point, this segment, then we'll break, come back, take some more of your calls on anything you want. 866-660-5759. We're spinning several plates. That as soon as you start telling platforms that they can't ban certain things, let me see if I can phrase this the following way. It'll do a couple of things. One thing we like, maybe they can't kick Trump or people like him off. But it also is, this is what I tried to wrestle with Mike Gallagher about, almost literally. Go back and listen to our golden segment in the first hour. We're just yelling at each other with all the love that we always have. You won't be able to get rid of anybody. Because banning Trump was just obviously stupid. Okay? What if somebody comes along and says something really is incendiary, really is worthy of banishment? You know? And Twitter or Facebook gets rid of that person. That aggrieved person will suddenly rise up and go, "You can't get rid of me either." And you know what? They'll probably be right. And at that point, for fear of being sued, because we still haven't figured out whether Facebook or Twitter are in any way responsible for stuff that goes out over their platforms, I don't think they are. I think if I post something on Twitter, it ain't Twitter's fault, it's mine. If I post something on Facebook, it ain't Facebook's problem, it's mine. I'm the creator, they're just the conduit. But if they're tired in this litigious society, if they are fearful of being sued over, under, sideways, down, you're going to find platforms who just don't post anything. It's a protector. It's like the stupid fairness doctrine that they tried to do to radio. That if you have a show with this view, you got to have a show with the other view, which is the dumbest thing since the invention of dumb things. It ought to be where this show could be conservative, this entire station could be conservative, and if there wants to be if the owners want to put a liberal show in the afternoon, they can do that, or if somebody wants to buy a liberal radio station and make a liberal radio station down the dial, they can do that and let people listen to whatever they want to listen to. That's what liberty and freedom and the marketplace look like. Having government tell stations what kind of shows they can put on or what kind of shows they must put on is undue government interference in what is a private entity's business. But I can hear you talking back to the radio. I sometimes can hear that through one ear of my headphones. And you're saying, but Mark, there are lots of radio stations. There are lots of radio stations. Fairness doctrine is wrong. But if one station is doing something you don't like, there's another station. There's only one Facebook. There's only one Twitter. And that uniquity is what is guiding a lot of the energies for some type of government regulation of whom they can and cannot kick to the curb. 923, Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. The wind. To watch a strip. Ah! 1980, Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band. And Her Strut. All righty, let's strut to another call or two at 9:35 to settle all this for us, as if that's ever possible. Over at IPI, my buddy Tom Giovanetti, who is so deep on issues of social media and regulation and what works and what doesn't. So I'm going to add his voice to the dialogue. 866-660-5759. We are in Fort Worth. Dave, hey, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Great, Mark. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I've made notes, so you stop me where I need to stop.
Thank you very much.
So I think you need to stop comparing the bakery, and here's why. Mm-hmm. He did not deny them service based on them being gay. He felt he was asked to be a participant in a religious ceremony, their wedding. He cannot refuse them service just because they're gay. If they walk in and want to buy a cake off the shelf and say, I'm taking this home, he can't say, no, you're gay, I can't serve you. His private business is totally different than Facebook and Twitter. He's a sole proprietorship. They're multinational businesses that are sold openly on the public market. And gays and minorities are protected class. Political affiliation is not.
Okay, so, pause. Not because of anything bad, because that's awesome. The baker, exactly. If a gay couple comes in and says, we want to, you know, understand you have chairs that we could use for our wedding. We want to buy some chairs. And he says no. You can't do that. It's a chair. Who cares? But the artistry needed, you know, to craft the cake or the whatever, you know, maybe the artistry of a sign at a sign shopper, a sign maker's place, is an organic participation that rises to the level of something we let someone respectfully decline. Nobody is telling Twitter that they have to adopt the views of Donald Trump. Nobody's telling Facebook that they have to espouse the views of Josh Hawley. You just got to let them in and let them say what they wish. Sounds like the distinction you're making, and I think that makes some good sense.
Okay.
All right, give me one more thing, and then I got to hit the news, and then I'll run it all by Giovanetti.
No problem. Mm-hmm. So Facebook and Twitter are content providers. 230 was carved out to protect them from things published on their platforms, right? And even, let's say, 100% of what Donald Trump said is a lie, it doesn't matter. Lying is protected under the First Amendment, provided it's not criminal in nature and whatever. Yeah. The second that they make a decision to say, that's a lie, this is truth, they're making an editorial or publishing decision and no longer should be covered by 230. If they want to do that, okay, but they should not be protected from liability based on the fact that they are now a publisher deciding what can and cannot be on their platform. And then you top that with their unequal applications of their terms of service. Either they have 230 or they don't. They either use 230 or they don't. And that's fine. That's their choice. But the second that they kick person A off for violation of terms of service, but not B off for that same violation of terms of service, look at Trump versus Maxine Waters, then they're a publisher and can no longer be protected. It's okay. They can do that. I totally agree. But they need to decide whether they're a publisher or a content provider, one or the other.
This is Dave's second genius moment. I go entire weeks without two genius moments. Dave, that is awesome. Thank you very, 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 very much. In a nutshell, it helps me to rephrase things so that because he phrased it perfectly. Go roll that back and just play that again. The 230 references, section 230, and this is where Tom is steeped in knowledge about this, and I'll get to him here as soon as we get into news in 30 seconds, is that if Facebook and Twitter are really just, as I've said, conduits, pipelines, saying, hey, you guys say stuff, we'll put it out there on the internet. Then they are not publishers. They're just providers. They're just the pipeline through which I say stuff. As soon as they start editing, banning, curating, messing with things I say, that then become they are then more than just a provider. They're not just the wall on which we all scrawl things that we want to write, or the soapbox provider where you climb up on the soapbox and say whatever you want. They then become a participant in your content, thus making them editors and publishers and not just platforms. All right. I feel like progress is at hand. 9:33, Mark Davis into the newsroom, and then we'll chat with Tom Giovanetti at IPI about this, and then with you about this or anything else. We got a half hour to go. Let's make it magic. 9:34, Mark Davis. Here's Gordon. I admit this is a curveball. Madonna. And express yourself. It's kind of what it's about, right? We all seek to express ourselves. Lord knows I get a full plate of that. I got this show, which is just a gift every day. Over at the Institute for Policy Innovation at the IPI, they express themselves on issues of conservatism and free markets, and they do it both at IPI.org and on a wonderful podcast that we're kind of partnered with them. They're kind of using our facilities and cranking out that bad boy all the time, whether it's Tom Giovanetti, Buddy Matthews, and the wonderful IPI podcast. And also the friendship and the relationship means that I can text Tom Giovanetti on the fly and go, which I've essentially done this morning, because he's done so much writing and thinking about regulations and when they work and when they don't. And this spurious Section 230, which is either a good thing or a bad thing in the federal regulations. And so at this moment in time where we as conservatives are repelled, I mean repelled, by what Facebook is doing to us, kicking off Trump for nothing. Twitter censorship for nothing. And the question arises, can they do this? And the answer right now seems to be, yeah. And there are people who are working to say, maybe not. Now, it'll be very satisfying at a visceral level to me if all of a sudden Facebook and Twitter can't be as reckless as they've been in just flicking away points of view that they don't like. But as I've expressed today, there's a part of my conservatism that blanches a little, if not a lot, when we talk about government telling private entities what they can do. Now, today's been enormously helpful. And to be even more helpful, here's my buddy Tom Giovanetti at IPI. Hello, Tom. How are you?
Hey, Mark. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Let me give you the last chapter. There's the full setup. Here's the last chapter that enables me to hand it off to you. Because today I've had some wonderful, wonderful people, because I've literally asked them, help me here. Help me as a conservative find ways to support government oversight over what these social media platforms do. There are a couple of things. It's not like the bakery, you know, where there's another bakery next door, because there's no Facebook next door, there's no Twitter next door, there's no alternative place. Also, we're not asking Facebook or Twitter to adopt the views that that they object to, just to provide a conduit for them. And the Section 230 protections are hinged upon them being mere content providers, just a conduit through which I can say whatever I want, you can say whatever you want. As soon as they start to edit and dally with my content, they then kind of become editors, and then the protections differ. Let me shut up and hand it to you, because just help me balance this out. As DeSantis in Florida and Texas and Governor Abbott and the wonderful Senator Brian Hughes, we welcome to the beginning of today's show, finding ways to battle big tech censorship. Floor is yours.
All those names you just called out are people that I like and support and I'm big fans of. Brian Hughes, DeSantis, every right. And on this issue, they're all wrong.
This is why I call him. Go ahead.
They're all wrong. And this is why I think this issue is a wonderful issue, because this issue really forces us to confront and deal with the principles that we claim to be our principles. Mm-hmm. Because one of the differences I think that's different between left and right historically is that the left has been outcome oriented and the right has been process oriented. In other words, it's the right who's always said we have to follow the Constitution, we have to follow the Bill of Rights, even if it doesn't lead to the results that we prefer. And it's the left who says we have a certain outcome we want, and if it requires us to ignore the Constitution, we'll ignore it. If it requires us to pack the Supreme Court, we'll pack the Supreme Court. If it requires us to violate people's rights, we'll violate people's rights, because we're outcome-oriented, not process-oriented. And I think this is a wonderful example of that, because we as conservatives are getting a result we don't like from social media.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any doubt that the way that they have filtered content has been biased against conservatives. And I think it's almost inevitable that that happens, because the people making the decisions are, you know, Silicon Valley, not the Silicon Valley millionaires, but Silicon Valley 24-year-olds.
Exactly,
you know?
Who happen to be millionaires. So you know, are we...
Who are doing this.
So are we... Great, I'm now rediscovering the principle that got me in trouble with these people in the first place, and that is, hey, we're conservatives, these are private entities, and everybody's been trying to hit me with, yeah, they are. Tell me why it's not like the phone. People have said, DirecTV can't come to me and unplug my satellite because they don't like my politics. AT&T can't cancel my cell service because they don't like my views. How is this different? How is this different?
Okay, because those are identified in law as common carriers. They have to make their service available to anyone who wants to take it up.
Right.
But AT&T and Verizon and Charter Cable, that is not speech. They're a common carrier. They're like a dumb pipe, okay? Any traffic you send over their broadband connection, you can send over their broadband connection, and any... You can consume or not consume any of the broadcast options they're making to you. So that's literally not a good comparison in law and public policy. And by the way, I just want to throw in, and I know that you know this, but if we still had a fairness doctrine, if we still regulated speech and on the broadcast airwaves, people like you would not have careers.
Right. Because forcing radio stations to carry one liberal show for every conservative show they have, stations aren't going to do that. They're just going to stop putting political shows on the air at all in order to not have to jack with it.
Yeah, political talk radio didn't exist until the Reagan administration got rid of the fairness doctrine.
But the reason the free market, and you're totally right about that historically, but the reason radio, and this is what was, you know, we kind of went through this a little bit, and I'm glad to do it again, but there are 20 radio stations, there are more than 20, but I mean, if a station, the reason the free markets work so perfectly is if they don't like our very conservative radio station, go make a liberal station, go do that. They ain't going to make another Facebook, ain't going to make another Twitter. They're literally unique.
So here's the thing. If you're going to go, because you've mentioned this several times now, you've mentioned that, you know, there's not an alternative. Okay, so if there's not an alternative, what that does is that takes us into antitrust law, not speech regulation.
And I hate that, too. Go ahead. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah.
The fact that there's not enough competition means you have to address it from a competition standpoint. It doesn't give you a reason to regulate speech. And regulating speech is just an extremely dangerous thing to do. And here's another, I think, key observation. For those of us who believe in free markets, in fact, we recorded one of our podcast episodes about this exact point.
Mm-hmm.
For those of us who believe in free markets, we don't believe markets are perfect. We don't believe markets give perfect or ideal results. We just think they're better than the alternative. And there's always going to be a tension in a rights-based free market society like we have. There's always going to be a tension because you're not always going to get the result that you prefer from a market. And right now, conservatives, we're not getting the result that
we
prefer.
No, we're not. Indeed. All right. 90 seconds. Because when I talked to Brian Hughes, and everybody can hear that in the podcast, 7 a.m. today, he said he's kind of talking about in Texas making Facebook, Twitter, social media, making them common carriers, why, like your cable company, et cetera. Why does that not work?
The biggest problem with Brian's bill is in the first paragraph where they simply decree the social media platforms are common carriers. I mean, literally, they just simply, we find that, okay?
All right.
That isn't how it works, okay? There are bodies of law that determine what common carriers are. And you can't just suddenly decide that a speech platform is a common carrier. In fact, one of the definitions of common carriers is that they're not speech platforms. You know, railroads and buses and things like that. Now, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's another point here, which is all of the news stories yesterday about the Facebook Oversight Board.
Right.
They all the news stories say things like, Facebook Oversight Board says Facebook made the right decision.
Yeah, right.
That is not what it did. The oversight board yesterday really sort of smacked down Facebook. They said you were not consistent in applying your rule. In fact, you applied a rule to President Trump that didn't exist. It wasn't one of your rules. It wasn't one of your standards. It was arbitrary. And so while, yes, it can stand, you have 6 months to craft a new defensible rule in this area.
Or what?
And you must apply it to everyone. You can't just selectively apply it to a politician and then not apply it to other people. So what the Oversight Board did yesterday was actually prove that they are independent and that they're not
it struck me as a wrist slap. In order to really convince me of that, they would have said, put him back on tomorrow.
Well, and they didn't do that. They didn't reverse
that's right.
it.
I figured
tap dance. They did say that you did not apply this rule in a proper way. You did it in an arbitrary way. And you cannot leave him permanently banned unless you can come up with some sort of a rule or a policy that would not only apply to him but to everybody else.
All right, 30 seconds, IPI.org for everything Tom, Buddy Matthews do. Tell everybody how to go get the podcast.
If you go to any podcast, major podcast platform, we have two podcasts. We have the one called the Institute for Policy Innovation Podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's our general feed that has everything in it. Mm-hmm. And then we have a separate new podcast that I'm really excited about called IPI Policy Basics.
Excellent.
And we're building a library of 20-minute episodes on very basic policy topics and concepts. So if you want to learn how to think about policy, if there's a specific issue you want to get up to speed on, that's the place for you to go.
And best first stop on the web, IPI.org for info and all that. Tom, thank you as always. Appreciate you so much. Thanks for being on. Already 9:52. Mark Davis right back. All right. Well, let's let Mike Gallagher go handle this. See what he does today. And then we'll come back tomorrow. And holy cow, it's Friday. Can you believe it? For producer Rhonda K. Moreland at producer Rhonda K, R-O-N-D-A, capital K. Technical guru skills from Mr. Matt and news ace Gordon Griffin. We thank you for hanging out. Enjoy this beautiful day. God bless our country, our troops, our families. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your morning. See you in the morning for Friday show at 7. 6:60 a.m. The Answer. I'm Mark Davis. Be good.